Hello and welcome to the Popping Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Mark.
And no Nick, because he's a prick. See what I mean? Oh, God.
Prick.
So, my kid, your grandchild.
What a wonderful young lady.
Something like that.
Okay.
She has just started kindergarten. This was talked about on the previous episode to this with my lovely wife, Carissa.
Lovely.
We had just gotten done dropping Emma off at school.
You didn't actually drop her, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. That was years ago.
That would be bad.
And it wasn't a drop. She fell. Okay?
Sure.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't even know if I've... Okay. Sidebar. We need to talk about this. Because from a physical comedy standpoint, it was hilarious.
This is child abuse.
But I still felt awful, you know? Yeah. And I was immediately... in emergency mode when it first happened. In that moment, I was like, oh my God, my baby, right? And then it turned out she was fine, so now we can laugh at it. Everything's good.
But I should remind you of the fact that you have failed in your protecting the child role.
Yeah, basically.
When that speaker I hung on the wall fell and hit you on your head.
Oh, you hung that speaker.
I don't remember anybody else
doing it. After all these years, the truth comes out. The whole, oh, it's somebody such and such hung it on the wall because they're an idiot.
Well, welcome to such and suchville.
So anyway, so it was around the time that Emma was, she was learning how to sit up, was doing it very well. She was already crawling around and all that jazz. So we're hanging out on the bed. Now we have a queen-size mattress that... on a full-grown adult, is just below waist height, I'd say, for a full-grown adult. So let's say it's a, what is that, 2 feet?
Oh, no, more than that. A full-grown adult?
Yeah, full, what yeah, is that?
Like 30 inches.
I don't know. I don't know the conversion.
How tall are you?
I am 6 foot.
What's half of that?
3 feet.
And that's your waist.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to other math.
You know I'm awful at math. That's why I make fun of my brother, who's a physics major. But anyway.
He just likes torture.
So she's crawling around on the bed. I'm sitting at the pillow end of the bed against the wall, folding laundry. And she goes to the end of the bed, and she sits up, and she gets this big old smile on her face. And I guess her butt was closer to the edge of the bed than I thought it was. And she just flopped right over and landed on her back.
A lesson in gravity.
Yes, yeah. A definite lesson in gravity. Now, obviously, I immediately checked on the child, and I was concerned because she fell straight on her back. The whole deal turned out to be fine. Everything's good, so far as we know. And
wait till her teen years.
But now all that keeps replaying in my brain is she sits up, she a little smile, and then just...
That was over, your reckless abandonment of her safety.
Yeah.
So you make it as cute as awful. You want, you blew it.
You should call somebody.
call somebody what?
So anyway. We dropped her off at school.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I generally remember kindergarten. But I would imagine my dropping my kid off at school for the first time was a bit different for me than it was for you guys. Because you guys had already done it twice.
No, it doesn't make any
You'd difference. Been through two kids already.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
difference. No, it doesn't make any
no,
difference.
No, really, I didn't for us.
Okay.
But you did go to nursery school a little bit.
A little bit.
Daycare, they call it.
Yeah.
We called it nursery school.
Yeah.
But briefly, you did it.
Yeah, I didn't like it very much.
Neither did we, so we stopped doing that.
I only have one memory of it, and it's pretty negative.
But kindergarten, you know, I don't remember much about your kindergarten year. I was very busy that year. We were living up in the Poconos.
No, we were not living in the Poconos. We had just moved back down here.
Oh, okay. Well, the nursery school was in Poconos.
Nursery school was in the Poconos, yeah.
Okay. All
right. And then I did my kindergarten at Marlboro.
That's right, the brand new school.
Yeah, we were on Fifth Street.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So it was a busy time though, because we had just moved, got done that move and everything. And
that's, you know, right. And your mom was working again.
Yeah.
Because you had the benefit that I had, or at least you had it for some of the time, that you had a stay-home mom.
Yeah.
For quite a lot. But she was working for that lawyer back then, wasn't she?
Which came first, the lawyer or Ames? I thought it was Ames because it was right across the street from our little section of the neighborhood on Fifth Street.
Might have been. I had a fall. My parents weren't watching, and I fell off a bed. I have Dane Bramage.
Nah, I see what this is. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, yeah. So Marlboro Elementary was slightly familiar, I guess, because Ash went there for a few years.
Yes. Yeah, he was the one that went when it was brand new. That's right.
Yeah. So I feel like it might not have been too bad, but what was the experience like? Because I can't remember if I rode the bus in kindergarten or not. I think I did, because we were pretty far from the school.
Yes, I think you did. See, I do confuse your experience at Marlboro with your brother's, but yeah, you probably did. But you see, my elementary school, I was a walker.
Right.
When I was a kid. But as soon as I got into seventh grade, which we called junior high, not middle school, but I was a bus kid. So I don't have any glitches about riding a bus to school.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, it burned up a lot of testosterone before you got in front of any authority figures. But so I don't remember. Specifically, but you would have taken the bus. I think we're on Fifth Street then.
Yeah.
That horrible house we rented.
Yeah.
But, cheesesteaks around the corner was all right.
Yeah, exactly.
But you probably took the bus, and, I remember the early elementary school, you enjoyed school quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's hard trusting other people with your kid.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's a different world, even now, from when you went, and it was very different when I went.
Well, yeah, I mean, stuff, you know, you crazy kids in the 60s.
Well, no, but it also had to do with parents. I mean, if you messed with somebody else's kid,
yeah,
you're lucky if the cops got called.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it was a violent culture, but people just didn't stand for things. Now everybody sues everybody. And
right.
I'm not going to go across the street. You know, he might have a gun or something, but it was a collective attitude. And really, when it came to public schools, the school was the arbiter of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You got in trouble. They sent you to the principal and called your parents and they came up.
Right.
You know, even if it was actually, you know, you vandalized something in the schoolyard, they didn't call the cops.
Yeah.
But and the transition was different for me and probably different for you than it is today, too. I went to kindergarten, and it was a kindergarten. It was, play with stuff, big blocks, toys that would kill you.
Yeah.
No, I got to tell you. And the most popular toy in the schoolyard, and we had a separate schoolyard because we couldn't be trusted with real people. the schoolyard extended out from all the classrooms on that wing, which were all kindergarten.
Right.
And it went out toward a fence. But just before it got to the fence, there was a about a 45-degree angle hill that went down to the fence.
Right.
And the fun and games was they had wooden barrels, big, full-size wooden barrels.
Right.
That had the ends knocked out of them. And they were painted pastel colors. But the idea was you got in this booger and you rolled it down the hill and hit the fence. Yeah. Now, okay, yeah. I can leave that where it is. But anyway, we played. And I think what the point of it was we got into the transition of not being at home. not having the TV in front of us, because I'm the TV generation, the first one, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, we would sit in rows, and we had story time and cooperative activities, mm-hmm. and, of course, the nap that nobody really took.
Right.
And a snack, which was disgusting. But it was behavior modification for when you did get to school.
Right.
So that your first grade teacher wouldn't become psychotic.
Yeah.
But when you started out with nursery school or daycare and then got into kindergarten, they wanted you to be able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't have to function except, you know, not crap on the floor or something. But
yeah.
You had to know your name, your address,
yeah.
your phone number. And we had a secret word.
Right.
None of that existed for me.
Right.
You know, now they want the kid to do even more, don't they?
It's kind of different. Right. So she doesn't need to know phone number.
Well, because nobody knows their
phone number. Yeah. And I don't think they need to know the address, because that wasn't on the list of things. But they need to know what town they're in, what's the name of the elementary school that they go to, and mommy and daddy's first names.
Okay.
Those they have to know. But then also, we do get a little bit of, you know, they've already started working on, you know, they're going through the numbers, they're going through alphabet and stuff like that. So they have to read and write their first name and count to whatever without skipping anything, you know, which I think
that's all the information you need when you get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
walk on the line.
Right.
You know,
right. Touch your nose,
lift a leg, touch your nose. Yeah. All the fun stuff. But, I think I do pretty well as far as getting emotional when dropping the kid off, because I do get emotional to a certain extent, but I have figured out exactly what the thing is that that triggers me a little bit, and I know it'll get better.
All right.
But so we pull up in the car line to do drop off. She gets out of her car seat, puts the backpack on, gives a hug and a kiss real quick, goes out the door, and then walks into school, right?
And then you can't have an effect.
Right.
The people in there with steely knives.
So there's that, yeah. there's a little bit of that, you know. Who is this person?
Paranoia.
Although, I will say, somewhat nice. I mean, we'll find out. But her elementary school, or her kindergarten teacher, her daughter is in the same dance class as Emma on Monday nights.
Oh, cool.
So we get a little extra time to hang out.
Yeah,
cool.
That's nice.
But anyway, no. So the thing is, she just does it. No fuss, no fight, nothing at all. Just, you know, gives me a kiss on the cheek, have a nice day, gets out the car, closes the door, walks in.
Oh, she's cool.
She's amazing.
Well, yeah.
But
you helped to make her that way. I mean, she has
her- yeah.
her core thing, and when she was itty bitty, you know, it was, you know, be ready to catch her, even mm-hmm. though you missed once.
Right.
And you know, don't let somebody talk to her. Don't do this in front of her. Don't say that.
Right.
But at the same time, you made her stronger.
Right.
You let her know there was another world out there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll tell her the truth about it later, but, yeah. She's chill. She's very cool.
Yeah.
There's a word that I never really understood, but having cooked eggs, and you can coddle an egg.
Okay.
I'm not sure about coddling children, but you didn't spoil her and coddle her. And what happens sometimes, is you cuddle your kid, you coddle your kid. It's always some parents, it seems as though they're saying, oh, you poor thing.
Right.
You're out there in the world, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
You didn't do that.
No.
You'll deal with a bad thing when it happens.
Yeah.
And so she's not afraid of everything. But she had a really great sense of caution.
Yeah.
She didn't get used to me for a while.
Yeah, it took a little bit.
A smart girl.
I think it was the beard.
There are adults that still aren't used to me. No, and it probably was the beard, but you got to respect that. The other thing that I like that we do, it's okay, it's time to go. Give my mom a kiss, Nana a kiss, give Pop-Pop a kiss. And she didn't want to give Pop-Pop a kiss because I'm hairy.
Yeah.
I'm very large. Fine. Yeah, you don't owe me anything. Don't do that. Don't do it because you think you have to. I'd rather you did it because you wanted. If she spontaneously runs up and gives me a hug, and she has, my whole world changes. You know.
Yeah.
So she has a pretty good perception of herself and the world as she knows it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I think
some both of you guys did a great job on her so far.
I think so.
Yeah, you'll screw it up royally later. But
yeah, I'm going to find some way to screw this up. I know it. So I think one of the things, one of the things, endless list of things that I am grateful of for my wife is so she went to the same elementary school, so she knows the layout and all that jazz.
That's nifty, I like that.
And also for the past like 2 years or so, that's where when school is out, you can use the parking lot and the playground for whatever. You know, so for the past 2 years, that's been one of our main spots to go to for playgrounds and riding the bike and all that jazz. So the parking lot where we drop her off and the doors that she goes through at the start and the end of the day and all that jazz is already familiar to her. She's already seen it. I mean, she's been at and we told her, it's like, hey, that's going to be your school soon. You know, or someday or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And, you didn't spring it on her all of a sudden.
Yeah, and then every once in a while she'd be like, am I going to my new school yet?
Right.
Do I go to my new school today? You know.
Reasonable expectation.
That sort of thing. So,
but that's cool on another level. And it's got nothing to do with urban or suburban or country or whatever. I don't even know how we fit in there to that here. But in my day, oh, God, did I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the school... The public school was the center of your local culture.
Right.
Now, again, we had the school districts were all based on municipalities, townships or towns or something like that. Now they're regional things and stuff like that. But still, you went to home and school association meetings.
Yeah.
And you you had your Cub Scout pack meeting at the school, and there was summer program and all that. So having access to these playgrounds and things, it became sort of the hub. And then they opened a swim club. But still, you got to identify with that. And we've lost a lot of that. We've lost, and this is all political, I'm sure, but we defunded schools. The poor folks that are trying to create this little child into a full-fledged human are doing it with every disadvantage we could possibly throw in front of them. And with, you know, two parents working, it's even harder to come in and go to the play or whatever it is that they're doing. So we've lost a bit, and I hope that we can get it back.
Yeah.
Because having that school, I mean, my parents even knew the janitors. You know, how you doing, Ted? Well, not too bad. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's important that she feel comfortable geographically, you know, as well as, you know, the whole social part of it. But I think you guys did a good job. So there you go.
Well, so far, so good anyway.
Yeah.
I still maintain that when she becomes a teenager, she will hate me at some point. And that's not to try and keep up with the whole social norms that we make jokes about on Facebook and stuff like that. That's just, it's almost, I don't know. It's almost a goal. Not for her to hate me, really, but for her to question me.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think she's going to do that I hate you thing.
Right.
I expected it of my kids,
right,
and it didn't come.
Yeah,
I especially expected your oldest brother to rebel against me, and he did in a sense, but it wasn't a hateful thing. It was an expression of frustration, and he was correct. But I don't see that happening. I don't think you're that kind of dad, and Carissa's not that kind of mom. I think that your family, like how you were brought up,
mm-hmm.
we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And also, we're all bozos on this bus.
Right.
So I don't think you got a problem with that coming up. You're going to have the grip of fear.
Always. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Testosterone is going to be thrown at the front of your house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, and your mom and I talk about this, you're raising a strong little girl.
Yeah.
Going to become a strong young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And woe betide any guy who gets free with his hands.
Yeah.
There will be a plaster cast involved.
It's not going to be one of those situations where, you know, she brings the guy home and I have the very serious sit down with this young man and threaten him with death. No, no, I'm going to be sitting there. I'm going to be sipping a cup of coffee. And I'm going to start laughing at him.
Yes.
And yes. saying, it's okay, son. One day you'll figure this all out.
Yeah, I guess that's better than the approach. You know, I've got a shovel and a gun. No one will miss you.
Yeah. Nothing like that.
No, but and that's the key to all this. Not just school and boys, but there's driving, there's death.
Yeah,
there's the paranoia, disappointment, you know, all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
you build a strong human. Now, see, I don't think we raise girls and boys.
Right.
We raise humans.
Yeah.
Because you never know how it's all going to work out.
Right.
And it doesn't matter as long as there's love and there's positive intent. So we have to raise these humans to be the best they can be mm-hmm. and put up with the worst they'll run into.
Right.
And I think you're doing that.
And some light trigonometry, just a tiny little bit.
But, yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
You know, A plus B equals holy crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that you're already seeing the benefits of that and it's cool. Not that it matters what I think, but there you are.
It does to a certain extent or else I wouldn't be asking you.
Oh, I don't know. You're a glutton for punishment. No, I think it's cool. I think she's, besides being a marvelous human, whether she's got my genetic poison or not, but, you're working it through. You're working it through.
It's
cool. Yeah. And Carissa's just dynamite. I'm just very impressed with Carissa.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it and it's so neat being parents, you know, from the perspective that both she and I grew up where, you know, like you said before, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily a parent and child situation as much as it is humans who are all living together situation, you know.
Yeah.
We come from sort of that same background. And so it's interesting to have been in that same background, which is kind of rare, I think. In my for our generation anyway.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a perspective on it. Never have.
But you know, when we both go into parent mode, we don't really realize it until when we're looking back on it. Because it's just so natural for us to you know, to be integrated with another human being in that way.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And I don't know if you do this or not, but your mom and I, when we first got together, we knew we had to raise children. Well, first of all, she came into the game with a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad she did. And to a large extent, he taught me how to be a dad.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Oh, so it's his fault.
And there are a lot of anecdotes about that. But in any of, no, actually, I learned watching my father be a dad for the most part. But we decided that we were going to do this thing. And we had a conversation about what our values were and weren't.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't agree on everything.
Yeah.
We had different levels and flavors of fear. But we would talk regularly from time to time. Usually it was later in the evening when the roar died down, mm-hmm. and we could hear you all sleeping. We figured you were all asleep when the dog would relax. That's how we could tell. But we would talk about, well, what are we going to do? I noticed that, you know, this one is doing blah, blah, blah. And he said this yesterday. And and we would talk about it so that we were together on it. Or so that we could try, hope that the other one had the answer, you know. But we could do that. And we did it consciously. And when there are sometimes you throw your hands up. I don't know. I don't know. Let's give it another couple of days. But I just am so moved by that. I'm proud of myself. But you know, the fact that I married this marvelous lady and she bought into all of this and I bought into her thing and we made it work. It's like George Harrison's wife said in an interview. The interviewer made mention of all of the times that George Harrison had had dalliances with other women. And she was asked, well, how did you, how come you didn't get a divorce? And George's wife said, well, we just stayed married. That wasn't an option. We had to fix it. Each time it broke, we had to fix it and go through that. So, but putting out the conscious effort to there's a word for it, it's called socialization, to actually make the right plan and follow it as well as you can, so that your kid gets the benefit of learning how to get along with others without losing their identity. Then there's the whole values thing. You know, what's good, what's bad, what's indifferent, and how do you react to those things? And you mostly do that by example. Every moment's a teaching moment. When I'm driving along and I see some young kid, and to me, anybody under 30 is a fetus. But you see some young kid driving poorly. I blame whoever taught him to drive. This is learned behavior. We are not born to be idiots. Well, some people, but this is learned behavior, and so and somebody taught it to them. But I don't know. I think it's good to bring your kids up with a plan, with a lot of options, but consciously. So she's neat, and she's such a great challenge, full of surprises, and she's just hitting that age, that marvelous age where she's big enough and strong enough to do a whole lot more things. You know, and when she falls down, she doesn't do that baby thing where the baby falls down and looks at you. To find out whether it's good or bad. She falls down and she gets back up. And it either hurts a lot or it doesn't, but she's not looking to you. For is this bad or is this good? She's her now. She's in there.
And
I love it.
Sometimes it's, you know, I find myself as a parent trying not to laugh at a lot of things.
Why bother holding it back?
Well, you know. So, like, for instance, she had a slight injury the other day where she fell on the sidewalk. And she skinned her hands a little bit, but she skinned her knee pretty bad. It's actually a couple of weeks ago. And she didn't do the look at me thing, but she did. So she came over to me, and she just stood with her back against me, and she was crying because she was in pain, you know. And And I was like, are you okay? Do you want me to look at it? And she started yelling at me. She's like, no, I don't want you to touch it. I don't want you to look at it. I don't want you to kiss it. I don't want you to do anything. And she just, but still standing there with her back against me. She'd be like, I just need to stand here for a minute.
But that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And I've had those moments before, right? Yeah, I just need to stand there for a minute. Will you just shut up and be there?
Well, about a week ago here, because we're at my house now, she fell down in the driveway. And it hurt, but she didn't panic. But then your mom got into Nana mode,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the whole thing, let's get a bandage on it. This is a thing.
Yeah.
And she got into that.
Yeah.
Shifted her focus. You know? Yeah. And, but yeah, she's doing it on her own terms. I think it's cool.
Yeah. She's such a cool kid.
But going to school, she's going to bring a lot of crap home.
Yeah.
And I don't mean badly drawn crayon things.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to bring home language, habits, the things that I was just talking about, things that are learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's going to learn things from people who learned some things you wouldn't teach.
Yeah.
So the next big push, I guess, obstacle is to give her the tools to filter a lot of this out. You know.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I remember doing a lot of in my childhood, and I think we're at that point where we've impressed it upon her, is if you take in some information like that, like a word you're not supposed to say,
right?
If you're not sure about it, just hold on to it. Don't repeat it. Get home. Ask mom and dad. Is this okay?
Well, that's the
what
key.
Is this?
You got to have a relationship where they can ask you anything.
Yeah, yeah.
My old man, who had a name, and he's my father, but right now he's my old man.
Yeah.
He espoused to me the value that you make your kids your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You teach them everything you can teach them. Until one day they start teaching you, and then you got to shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to hunker down on the floor with the background noise in a TV or a thing or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and talk like children do. There'll be a time when you talk as adults, but talk on her level, which will surprise you, and she will tell you things. Maybe not in so many words, but she'll mm-hmm. let you in on some stuff.
Yeah.
And how you react to it is extremely important.
Right.
You know, every time you show her a button she can push, she's going to push it.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. You know? But, yeah, things will come home. And things are different now than they were even in your day. You could put a gun to my head. I couldn't tell you what religion, political persuasion, or any of that, any of my teachers were.
Right.
Now, I don't know what you're going to get. It's really harsh.
Yeah.
Although
that's why a lot of teachers stay off of social media nowadays.
Smart move.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got to develop these filters. The other problem is you're going to tell her what's important.
Mm-hmm.
This is not nice. You know, if you do that, you're not nice. You know.
Yeah.
Then she's going to go to school and one of somebody's going to do that. And she's going to say, you're not nice. My dad says so.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens after that is a mixed bag.
Yeah.
So how do you prepare somebody for that? I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, it's the world you create, the family world. It's that we are all together. We don't always agree. We don't always like each other, but we love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we are.
Yeah.
Now, somebody else might be different, and they're entitled to that. But they're not going to tell us how to do it, and we're not going to tell them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a strength that I think carries you through a lot.
Yeah.
And she's also going to learn the people she don't want to have anything to do with.
Yeah, which may change over time. You know, there's only one way to find out, really.
Billy smells like wet wood, you know. I don't know. Well, then you don't sit real close to Billy.
Yeah.
Stay far enough away you can't see the nits. You know? And she is going to be learning things from other people. I avowed, and your mom agreed, that you have basically, well, now it's probably younger, but I said 10 years
mm-hmm.
to work the big con. The big con right. is you convince your kids to take care of you when you're old. No.
Yeah.
A kid is impressionable by you as a parent for only so long, and then the world kicks in. Their friends, they call it a peer group, but
yeah,
and the media, they all kick in, and you are not as big an influence unless it's nasty.
Right.
You know, so get while the getting's good, pal.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's, you know, we've come out of the first stage being, we know everything, which isn't true, but that's what the stage is.
But you knew everything that mattered.
And we are entering into, let's call it phase two, which is, we don't know everything, but we know some things. So check back with us on the some things.
Right. Yeah, I can dig it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a tough balancing act with all this. Pretty soon she's going to come home and want to know why she doesn't have a phone. The other kids in class have a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you say, because you don't need one.
Right. Although I will probably, because I've done this before with a lot of people, my wife included, and I've apologized afterwards. But I will tend to find some kind of comparative issue or something like that to describe why she doesn't need it. So, like, for instance, like Carissa will ask me something about the NFL. Like the other day, it was Green Bay versus Chicago, and it is Green Bay's 100th season. I know it doesn't mean anything to you because you're not into sports, but so the NFL was not created until 61.
Yeah, 60.
60. Yeah, 1960.
Yeah,
right.
That I know.
And so, you know, my wife looks at me and she's like, wait a minute, how can it be their 100th season if the NFL has only been around since 1960? And I started my response with, and we'll backtrack now for just a second. So the way it works is they're the Green Bay Packers. They were originally the Acme Packers.
As in meatpacking.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because that was their main sponsor and blah, blah, blah. So my infinite wisdom, I start my response with, well, actually, in 1810, they started the Acme meatpacking plant, they later moved to meatpacking and blah, blah, blah. And then American football got super popular as a sport. So I, for some reason, and you do this.
Yeah, it's learned behavior, baby.
So I start off with a very basic thing right at the beginning so that people can understand. And so that's probably what we'll have. If you're like, well, why don't I have a cell phone? So, well, back in the early 1600s, I'll find something. I don't know.
Alexander Graham Bell's kid didn't have a phone until they were 30.
Which, by the way, that just reminded me of something.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. I don't often enjoy commercials.
Right.
But now that I have to because it's football season, there is a new Geico commercial.
Yeah.
Where it's Alexander Graham Bell, and he's seeing a play at a theater, and he has a telephone sitting next to him, and it starts ringing, and he picks it up. He says, Bell? No, you dialed one. You want two. And meanwhile, the whole audience has stopped. The play has stopped. Yeah. He hangs up. He's like, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then the Geico guy comes in and is like, for as long as people have been bothering other people with their telephones in theaters, Geico has been there helping you save money on your car. You know, that sort of thing. That's very silly.
Wow.
But just the image of Alexander Graham Bell in a theater with just this gigantic wooden box with a little telephone thing on it. It's hilarious.
You know what Geico stands for?
No, I don't.
Government Insurance. No, Government Employee Insurance Company.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's how it started out.
I didn't see. And I'm just completely distracted by the gecko.
Yeah, dig that. Yeah. A mispronunciation of their name, and they use it as a mascot.
Well, you know.
Yeah. No, but, you know, and the whole social media thing is going to hit you hard
when she starts
getting out there and surfing, and it's going to be weird. But she has a lot to offer the world through that too.
Yeah, and I think you know, it's one of those not a learn from my mistakes type of thing, but I'm glad I went through some negative things so now I can be a learning reference for my kid. I mean, so I've been on social media for as long as it's been around, basically, starting with MySpace, that sort of thing. So I've seen a lot of the nasty things, and I've seen a lot of the great things. So I can sort of, I don't know, guide her in that way.
Well, my problem with it, and it wasn't social media. I guess I should call it anti-social media.
Right.
Back in the 80s, when we started to see, well, it was, I think the first one might have been iPod. It was, okay. No, before iPod, Walkman.
Okay.
It was a thing that took a cassette tape.
Yeah.
And headphones.
Yeah.
And you'd see people walking around in a daze with headphones on. And the first thing I noticed about this was that people weren't talking to one another anymore.
Yeah.
People were not interacting with one another anymore.
Right.
Now one would jump in and say, but social media is different. Well, okay, fine. But something else happened. And this comes close to home. Oh, what was the name of that band? They did a song about a guy named Jeremy. Jeremy's
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam. They had an album that might have been their first.
I don't know.
But one of your brothers got a hold of it. And I used to do this thing where I would listen to your music.
Mm-hmm.
I would listen to the radio that you guys listened to.
Yeah.
I would also go see movies before you guys.
I have put you through some misery, I'm sure.
No. Actually, I actually, it was good for me because it kept me current on some things.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff I poo-pooed.
Yeah.
And I was right, but
anyway.
Well, Pearl Jam, good rocking band.
Yeah.
But anyway, they put out this album, and it was extremely dark.
Yeah.
And I watched your brother with the headphones on.
Yeah.
And I took the tape from him. Actually, it might have been a disc for him. And I said, listen, I'm not taking it away, and you can't get it back. But here's what I want you to do. Don't listen to it on headphones anymore. And don't listen to the whole album at once.
Yeah.
Because I could watch its effect on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was back when, you know, Frank Zappa had to go before Congress and all this stuff about them wanting to censor things. And I'm not an advocate of that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to watch your kid.
Yeah.
You got to watch what's going to happen. Now, not every kid is going to listen to Marilyn Manson and go shoot up a school or crucify his neighbor's cat. But you got to watch what it does to your kid. You know what music does to you in its best form.
Yeah.
Man, I remember standing at a record player, watching the RCA little dog going around in circles, and listening to Elvis Presley and thinking, boy, isn't this cool? And then I found the Beatles, and they were cooler. But it took me out of the reality around me, which was a great escape.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to lose touch.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have to worry about that. Well, not worry about it, but you have to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I saw things that were happening and it bugged me. And that's why I was something of a prick when it came to video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to play video games? I'll give you a handful of quarters. We'll go to the mall.
Yeah.
When you run out of quarters, you're done.
Yeah.
But you don't use my computer to play video games.
Yeah.
What did I say? What did I used to say? What was the phrase?
It's a tool, not a toy.
That's exactly right. This is a tool, it's not a toy.
But then...
But then you went over to your friends' houses.
And then we went over our friends' houses, and then Ian got Doom for PC.
Yes.
And what was after that? Mech Warrior? Phantasmagoria?
I didn't like Phantasmagoria, but Mech Warrior was cool.
And
but
then,
here was the thing. See... We agreed that you could do these things, okay?
Yeah.
We let them in the house.
Yeah.
When you guys all went to bed, I sat down and looked at them.
Sure.
And stuff. Yeah. I never really particularly enjoyed that stuff.
Right.
I enjoyed, there was a submarine game that,
Tom Clancy's thing.
I did very much enjoy that. Never got good at it, but I enjoyed it.
Right.
I remember games of it were written in ASCII, Star Trek, and it was all a bunch of little V's mm-hmm. and O's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I had to know. It was my responsibility to know what you guys were getting into. Because I can't help you otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? Phantasmagoria was just goofy.
It was weird. Yeah. Especially pre-64-bit. So it must have been 120. I think 120 was before 64. But in any case, any kid
that... Yeah, but we had better than 64-bit by the time you came along.
In video games?
I think so.
I don't know. Well, anyway, and then Ryan Brook shows up with an N64 and what was it? GoldenEye 007. Oh, yeah. But anyway, Star Fox 64. That was great.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But you guys were also getting on the computer and capturing your thoughts into files.
Yeah.
And mixing music together. And interacting with it in a very generative way.
Yeah.
And some of the poetry you guys wrote as kids. I still have a lot of it.
And that was also when I started going online. That was also when Napster came around.
Which,
got weird towards the end.
Which I always thought was stealing. I didn't get involved.
But in the very beginning... You know, there was either go to the mall and buy a CD, and if you don't like it, well, maybe you can return it the next time you go to the mall, that sort of thing.
Or you give it to somebody.
Or you give it to somebody that you don't like, you know. But, nice. But yeah, it was the first one that I had ever found where there was music accessible on the internet that didn't cost you anything.
Right.
And so that was a way for me to find a lot of stuff. I mean, you always played stuff in the kitchen.
Always.
Whether it was Beatles or Little Feet or...
Doobie Brothers, jazz, Stones.
Frank Zappa, that sort of thing.
The Mothers, yeah.
Ian was listening to Pearl Jam, Beastie Boys. Beastie Boys. R.E.M.
He turned me on to Beastie
Savage
Boys.
Savage Garden, yeah.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. Have I ever told you about the one time Frank bought me music?
No.
He came home for something. I think he was living in I think he was still in Oklahoma at the time.
Okay.
He must have come home around the holidays or something like that. And so he was hanging around the house. And then we didn't talk much then. But he came into the room and he said, "Hey, we're going to the music store. Come on." So we actually ended up going to Best Buy because Best Buy used to have a huge music section.
Yeah.
So he took me to Best Buy and he bought me Ben Folds and Billy Joel, The Stranger.
Wow. Talk about opposite ends of the spectrum.
Let's see. I think there was one other. I can't remember what it is right now, but he bought me like just a couple of different CDs of just stuff that he liked.
He did that for me too.
And that was interesting.
That was just the epitome of cool.
I still like Ben Folds.
Yes.
Every once in a while, I still listen to a couple of songs off of The Stranger. But then immediately you've ruined Billy Joel for me. So, you know,
ruin Billy Bowl?
Because every time I listen to him now, I think about all of your jokes about Billy Joel. So it's not necessarily that you ruin it for me. It's just, you know.
Put a different color backdrop on it.
Yeah.
But that was that is such a cool thing about Frank. He really wanted to have an effect on us.
Yeah.
On his brothers especially. But he, I think he actually mailed them to me. I don't know. I don't remember. But he gave me a stack of CDs. I think there were like five of them. And there might have been one out of the stack that I really wasn't into.
Right.
But there was a Ben Folds in there, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry I don't remember the name. I should. I play the disc frequently. But it was it might have been Cuban. piano player.
Okay.
And, you know, I did one of those things. I would be in my office over in the maintenance shop, and I would, let's see what he sent me. And I'd pop a disc in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stop everything and listen to it. It was really, yeah. really good. And talk about the gift that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. You try and teach your kids music appreciation, for instance, which actually used to be a class
yeah.
in middle school.
Yeah.
You know, don't have that anymore. But I consciously wanted you guys to experience different music. You didn't have to like it.
Yeah.
And then it comes full circle, and my kids are turning me on to music. You turned me on to Foo Fighters.
Did I really?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, there's a chance of that, yeah.
And the first time I heard him, I thought, he's screaming everything. What is this crap?
Yeah.
You know, but then I thought, whoa, that's some interesting bass.
Yeah.
And now, you know.
I love the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Yeah.
So, and there were a number of things. I think he's the one that brought that CD that had a whole variety of things, but like it had the Sopranos theme on it.
Okay.
But the whole song.
Yeah. yeah.
And
woke up this morning.
Yeah. Had Fun Loving Criminals.
Oh God, I remember that.
I couldn't get enough of that. I went out and bought one of their discs.
I remember that CD. That was a mix CD.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started listening to it for a little while. I can't find it. I may have lost it because that was when I was in junior high.
Okay.
And I just didn't give a shit.
Woke up this morning.
But, you know.
But it was brilliant, yeah. and it was so varied, and it was just terrific. And and I believe he's the one that turned us onto it.
Probably, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that was just so, that was a level of cool that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
You know, I think secretly I hoped for it.
for a guy that, not anything against you, but him, I make fun of him for it all the time.
What's that?
For a guy that regularly tucks his t-shirt into his jeans, you know.
I don't get that. I don't get it. He looks neat and kempt.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, you know, going to military school, these things get ingrained.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, your mom, when he first went off to go to military school.
Yeah.
And we dropped him off. And I was very worried about what was going to happen to him.
Right, yeah.
I'm the guy who marched on Washington and had hair to my butt.
And all yeah, and military school is much different from kindergarten. No, let's get that straight.
No, not really. Not when you talk about the transition, hey, I'm putting my kid somewhere.
Yeah.
All of that angst
yeah.
comes back. It really does. So we were worried about it. But we really believed it was the best thing for him.
Yeah.
And apparently it was, because he succeeded tremendously against very difficult odds. But we're walking through campus, waiting to go see him walk in a straight line with a very, very uncomfortable looking uniform on.
Yeah.
And we walked past one of the dormitory blocks, and I heard Jimi Hendrix playing out the window.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be all
right. It's going to be all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to mention very quickly as a side note, because of the way you phrase something.
Yeah.
So you said dropping him off at military college because you felt like it was going to be the best thing for him.
Yeah.
You didn't force him to go to military college. He chose to go there.
Right.
He worked really hard to get there.
Absolutely.
I'm just making the clarification for the listener. Yeah.
That's a great point because he came to a turning point. And had to decide, and that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's a whole other
thing. And he had to decide, and I'm not talking out of turn, I hope, or putting anybody's business in the street, but he had a catharsis, and he had to determine what was the best path for him.
Mm-hmm.
And his decision-making process was completely unflawed, and he thought that the military would be a good idea.
Yeah.
My only interjection in it was... if you're going to do that, go in as an officer.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, don't be cannon fodder.
Yeah.
But, and he met that challenge absolutely head on.
Yeah. Here we are 19 years later. Yeah. And, you know, Mr. Lieutenant Colonel, although I do enjoy calling him the bird.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's not a bird colonel, is he?
No, he's not yet.
Got to be
a
full colonel.
No. He's a little bird.
He's happy. He has purpose. He's a really good father and a tremendous husband.
Oh, yeah. One of these days, I'll get him on the podcast.
I think that would be marvelous.
Oh, yeah.
because he has a really interesting perspective on
things. Yeah, for sure.
But all you guys,
mm-hmm.
And people talk about, well, I don't know if I can raise kids. I don't know if I can be a parent. I said, well, you know, maybe you can't. But I pity you, because what a great experience.
Yeah.
What a tremendous experience. I'm so glad for you guys. And so is your mom.
Yeah.
And here I am getting the best of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, you're a granddad.
All of that.
You're a pop-pop, man.
But in my, you know, and I got this, the 64-year-old body,
mm-hmm.
which hates me. But I still got this 27-year-old brain.
Yeah.
That I still want to create, and I want to be involved. I want to exchange ideas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go off and get shit-faced anymore.
Right.
But I'm glad that's gone. But it's really cool.
Yeah.
I recommend it. Live as long as you can, because it's really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, and I'm glad we came back to it, because, yeah, dropping him off at the Citadel,
mm-hmm.
was cathartic for me, not as much as it was for him, I'm sure, but and for his mom.
Yeah.
And we threw ourselves into it as deeply as anybody can, I think, maybe too deeply. Your mother hanging out windows.
Shouting at people.
Yeah. But we did the same thing for all of you guys when you made transitions into things.
And mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not that much different in essence than watching your little girl go off to kindergarten. And it's going to happen time and time again.
Yeah.
When you hand your kid a set of car keys, yeah, you can use a car. And you sweat bullets till they're home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's harsh.
Yeah.
And then you get that phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we've been in an accident. The darn car is torn in half.
Oh, yeah, that
and
one.
And you have a ruptured spleen.
Yeah, I forgot about that
50
one.
Feet from our house.
Yeah. I wasn't the one driving.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't. No.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the transitions that remake themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and your biggest job is twofold. One, you need to prepare the child, the human, to be ready to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
Won't get it right all the time, but still to deal with it.
Yeah.
And then you have to teach yourself how to deal with it and be ready for it. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Your brother went to Burning Man.
Oh, yeah.
And it completely freaked me out. All
it's
I could
so
do
interesting,
is though. I'd come home and watch live feeds hoping to see him, which is futile.
Right.
But
although
now I want to go.
He did send me a video of when he volunteered to help out with the one art installation thing, and
I want to see that.
It was very interesting, because he had to, so he's in a lot of the shot, but just off to the side, and so he had to add in the description.
Sure.
It was like, okay, so in the bottom left hand corner there are two bald dudes in loincloths. There's a white one and a dark skinned one, and I'm the white one.
Like you couldn't pick out your own kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I knew you just from the way you were walking. Don't worry about it.
But I'm telling you, it's still a thrill a minute, and it's goofy things. The fact that my children feel comfortable telling me that they love me.
Yeah.
It fires off synapses, mm-hmm. that I think would otherwise have died.
Yeah.
You know, so it's cool.
And, you know, sometimes it's the same excitement when one of us says, hey, fuck you, and here's why.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, you know, I'm the one that gave you permission to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a very important transition for each one of you.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. and I have frequently needed to be put in my place and humbled, and that's part of your growth, pal. It's coming,
mm-hmm.
you know. When she comes at you with clenched fists down at her sides and formulating a sentence that will never come out right.
Right.
You got to roll with it, man.
Yeah.
Because she needs you. And that's where it comes down to. This whole I'm dropping her off at school, and the transitions and the fears and all that. you got to roll with it. You got to be there for her, and it's got to be through love, not because you're afraid you'll go to jail if you're negligent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which
yeah.
you will, by the way.
One of these days,
if they get to yeah. you first. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, thanks for chatting with me.
Oh, anytime. You're one of my favorite people.
Well, I'm working on it.
No. And imagine that. Imagine being an old fart like me, and my favorite people are my wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely my favorite people. And I never get enough time to spend with you. And blah, 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 Ginger. But it's all very cool.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about this anytime.
And, you know, more to the point of us being friends. More than, the whole father-son thing or mom and son thing.
An accident of birth.
There you go. I came to the realization a few years ago, we never come over here just out of necessity. You know what I mean? Like, yes. We don't feel like we owe it to you to come over.
No, because you don't.
We come over because we love you guys. We love spending time with you guys and there being here and all that jazz. You have a living room.
Yeah.
Without a television in it.
Damn right.
It's got a fireplace and everything.
It had bookcases, but we just moved them.
It did have bookcases.
But we're getting new ones. That's why they've moved. But yeah.
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 So yeah.
It's two.
All right. Is there any? This is usually where I plug social media things for my guests, but I can find you on Scredlink, and
Are you kidding?
That just came out of my head.
That's cool.
That's impressive.
That. Yeah. Yes.
All right. You can follow me and the Pop and Bottles Dadcast on the tweets and the Instagrams at PBDadcast. And facebook.com/pbdadcast.
And you can follow me wandering around my backyard, coming up with excuses not to do anything constructive.
And saying a lot.
Yes. No, it's om.
Om. Yeah. That's right. It's your own version of meditation. You just walk around the house randomly picking things up and saying
Yeah.
Love you, Pops.
Love you too, pal.